You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Who remembers the great Northeast blackout of 2003? No power for parts of 8 states, including Michigan and a chunk of Ontario. Some 55 million people in the dark. It turns out that blackout was triggered by a tree that touched a high-voltage power line in Ohio. But those of us who lost power for those several days certainly remember how life ground to a halt. So imagine a monster blackout caused by a cyber attack. The security firm Symantec recently revealed a hacker group it calls Dragonfly 2.0 is behind a campaign of cyber attacks on energy companies in the U.S. and Canada, to the point where the attackers were able to get their hands on power grid operations. So let's see what one of Michigan's largest utilities is doing to fight cyber attacks and hacker-induced blackouts. Jim Beachy is Executive Director of Cybersecurity for Consumers Energy. Jim, thanks for being here today.
Pleasure to be here.
If we used the example of the doomsday clock with midnight being an all-out cyber attack on Michigan's major utilities, power's out, millions of us are in the dark, what time would the hands be at right now, do you think?
There's certainly been a very serious change in the threat landscape, and people are very concerned about cyber attacks against the electric grid. But one thing I can say very confidently is there have been no attacks against the grid to date in the U.S. that have impacted the power system. We certainly are taking these threats very seriously at Consumers Energy and really as an industry. Protecting those energy delivery systems as well as our customers' private data are top priorities for our company and our industry. You know, I think the threat is understood. It certainly has changed. I would give, you know, still about a halfway just because we haven't seen those attacks today. So maybe a 6 on that scale of 0 to 12.
Fair enough. Exactly how do you define cyber attack?
Cyber attack to us is when someone is attempting to do us harm, meaning they are trying to get into our environment. They are trying to steal company data or somehow impact the electric grid. That's an important delineation because an attack occurs on a regular basis. That elevates to what we call a cyber incident, meaning someone has actually gotten into our environment or our system. Those are important delineations because all of us see attacks every day, even at home on your, you know, on your cable modem at home. Everybody is seeing attacks. The question is, when does it become an incident you actually have to respond to?
Any sense how many cyber attacks that Consumers Energy might get hit within a given period of time, a day or a month?
I think of this as almost like raindrops on an umbrella, if you will. We see sort of pings or communications at the door on a regular basis. It's kind of a constant barrage all day. But what we really focus on is those smaller number that are able to get into our environment. For your listeners, it's almost like an insect issue at home, right? The ants are going to get into the house at some point if the kids leave food out.
Sure.
And so same thing, cyber attackers are going to get into your environment. But if you can deal with that issue quickly and stop them before, let's say in the ant example, they, you know, infest the house and are burrowing in your walls, you can be successful at cybersecurity. So that's what we really focus on, is how quickly can we detect them and how quickly can we remove them from the environment.
And as you say, at this point, we have not seen a successful shutdown. They haven't gotten in to the grid to be able to do what we all fear.
That's correct.
How far have they gotten?
There are examples in the U.S., and obviously this article that Symantec has reported on posed some examples where Symantec believes that they were able to take screenshots of what we call a control system. Now, the challenge we're having as an industry is no specific examples were given. And, you know, I can say at Consumers Energy that we were not impacted, nor were these attacks successful against us. And candidly, our industry partners and some of our information sharing groups, other companies did not see these as well. So one of the things we're trying to figure out is what can we learn from this with the limited information that is out there.
And we hear Symantec talking about this hacker group that it calls Dragonfly 2.0. With that group and even more broadly, what's your sense of who's behind these attacks?
Yeah, it's really difficult. This is one of the really important things for your audience, I think, is we just say attribution, meaning who is actually behind this, is really, really difficult. So, you know, thinking about who is writing computer code and trying to analyze it and figure out who's behind it, very difficult scenario. Most of the time, though, these advanced attacks are conducted by some kind of a group, which we call a nation state, meaning someone who is either funded or supported by a country, meaning they have a lot of resources, they have a lot of capability. Because these attacks are so advanced, they require more resources than sort of a small group of attackers who might be going after, you know, someone's credit card data or something like that.
I'm speaking with Jim Beachy, who's Executive Director of Cybersecurity for Consumers Energy, as we find out what one of Michigan's biggest utilities is doing to fight cyber attacks and hacker-induced blackouts. How much does an energy provider like Consumers spend on cybersecurity?
I won't go into sort of the specific dollars, but I can tell you we have invested heavily in cybersecurity. We have a robust program, both cyber and physical security. I've got a team of around 70 people that are focused on this issue. We have people that are daily, their sole job is monitoring our networks, looking for problems. We have people who are building security. So as we deploy things like a smart grid infrastructure, we're making sure those systems are secure. So Consumers and really energy companies in general have certainly invested heavily and continue to build more and more mature programs.
What kind of coordination, Jim, happens among energy providers in Michigan?
Yeah, it's one of the beautiful things about our industry is we share information regularly. So I can tell you that my teams that are watching for things, they will call the folks at DTE who do the same work. Did you see this? We saw this. Did you see it? What do you think about it? But even more broadly, nationally, we have groups set up to coordinate and share information, both in the industry in general, but more importantly, with the federal government as well, where we can get more sensitive information or the government can share the things that they are seeing and we can share the things that we are seeing. The reality is the attackers are actually pretty good at sharing information. So as defenders, we need to be, frankly, better than they are and be more willing to share information back and forth.
Jim, what about the effectiveness of cybersecurity laws, either at the state or federal level? I mean, can they really help when the hackers are God knows where?
You know, it's tough from a legislative standpoint. I think regulations do a good job of providing sort of a baseline of requirements, meaning sort of the lowest common denominator, if you will. But the challenge is these threats change so quickly that it's really difficult for legislation to keep up. So it's really best that individual companies are analyzing the threats that they're seeing and the vulnerabilities they have in their system, and they're moving and adapting quickly. We think of compliance in our organization as something we need to do. It's important. We obviously want to comply with law, but we sort of see it as the baseline. It's not what we aspire to. If your listeners have heard of ransomware attacks that have happened recently where organizations, their data is held hostage and, you know, a company has to pay a certain amount of money to get that data freed up. We didn't even see these attacks broadly 2 years ago. So the rapid change of technology, but even in the security realm, it moves that much faster.
Jim, what do you personally see as the most important steps or initiatives needed to protect our energy grid from cyber attacks and hackers?
Yeah, that's a great question. Tough issue to solve in one thing, but I believe the most important thing is continued information sharing and transparency between utilities, but also from the federal government to the private sector. We call them private-public partnerships. There's always a concern that bad news is going to get out in the community or get out in the news. And unfortunately, things are going to happen, and we need to be able to share that data with peers and partners so we can learn from each other and be able to respond to these things quickly. So I think that number one thing is continuing that information flow back and forth.
How do you feel Michigan compares, Jim, with other states in being prepared, being well guarded against hackers and cyber attacks? I guess, in short, how worried should people in Michigan and Michigan officials be about a cyber attack on our utilities?
We feel very good about where we're positioned today at Consumers Energy. We have a robust program, and what we do is we take what's called a defense-in-depth approach. So when your listeners are thinking of their computer, when we have a machine that is capable of doing something on the electric grid, we do simple things like it doesn't have internet access. It does not have email. If an operator needs to do those kinds of functions, they're doing that on a different machine. Those systems are highly separated from our corporate network. So, you know, without going into the technical details, we do a lot to make sure that those systems are properly separated and protected from the grid. And I think Michigan is well positioned from what we see at Consumers, from what I know is going on at the state level and certainly our utility partners around the state.
Jim Beachy, Executive Director of Cybersecurity for Consumers Energy. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today on Stateside.
You bet. Thank you for the time, Cynthia. Take care.